Hey, Parshas Lech Lecha. Abusa, we know in the beginning of the Parsha, there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael. Vayira of Eretz. A famine in Eretz Yisrael. Vayira Avram, Mitzrayim. Avram goes down to Mitzrayim, Lagursham, to dwell there. Ki Chaveina of Eretz, because the famine is very, very great in Eretz Yisrael, very heavy. Says the Ramban, Rabbi Osai, a famous Ramban, an unbelievable Ramban. Says the Ramban, Vida, you should know. Ki Avram Avinu chata chet gadol. Avram Avinu sinned a great sin, bishkaga, inadvertently. Shehevi ishto atzadekes, that he brought his wife, Sarai, the tzadekes, b'michshol avon, into a bad situation, b'pnei pachado, out of his fear, pen yargu. He's scared they're going to kill him. V'haya lo livtoach b'Hashem. He should have trusted in Hashem. She'atzilo so that he would save him. V'as ishto, v'as kol asher lo, ki yesh be'elokim koach la'azor la'atzil. Says the Ramban, unbelievable. Avram should not have left Eretz Yisrael. He should have stayed there. After all, Hashem is able to protect him. Hashem could have saved Avram in Eretz Yisrael. There's a famine. God has his ways. God can take care of his man Avram. So what's Avram doing exactly going down to Mitzrayim? And the Ramban is stuck and puzzled. What did Avram do? Abosa, what's Pshataka? Why did Avram go down to Mitzrayim? Why didn't he stay in Eretz Yisrael? I saw last night in a sefer, and most of the ideas that we're going to share today come from this sefer. Sefer is entitled Aleinu L'Shabeach by Rav Zilberstein, one of my favorite svarim on the Parsha. Beautiful sefer. So Rav Zilberstein suggests, he says, he quotes other mefarshim and say the following pshat. Do you want to know why Avram went down to Mitzrayim and didn't stay in Eretz Yisrael? Avram was worried. What's he worried about? He said like this beautifully. Avram was worried that people are going to blame the famine in Eretz Yisrael on him. Here's this new guy that comes up with a new religion, a whole new idea about one God, and he's making problems for everybody. He comes to Eretz Israel, he comes into Eretz Canaan from Ur Kasdim. He's making trouble. He's bringing a famine with him, and they're going to think it was Avram Avinu that caused this mess for them. So what does Avram do? He goes down to Mitzrayim and he shows them, guys, look at me. I am now in Mitzrayim. And where's the famine? Well, the famine's not in Mitzrayim, where I am, and the famine still is where? Still in Israel. Eretz Yisrael. So it must be that I am not the cause of the famine. Avram knew the Ramban's taina, so to speak. Avram knew maybe he should have trusted in Hashem. But Avram was worried about one thing, Rabbi Osai, and that's what I want to talk about today, and that is Chil Hashem. Or, let's put it in a positive twist, Avram was worried about one thing, which was the honor of Hashem. And Avram was worried, if I stay here in Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a chilul Hashem. People are going to talk badly about Hashem and about the religion that I'm trying to push in the entire world. And therefore, Avram was willing to make the big trip with his family down to Mitzrayim and to go ahead and show the world that it wasn't God for him because of his religion that the famine came about. And then he points out in the Sefer, continuing on his idea a little bit, a very beautiful idea. Chazal teach us, fellas, Avos, the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Hein Hein HaMerkava. They are the chariot. What in the world is a chariot? Chariot? Wasn't it the chariot? So we know Rabbi Osai, we don't really have this so much anymore, but in the olden days, the chariot was the thing that brought the king around. The chariot was the
Rolls Royce.
The Rolls Royce, thank you, of sorts for the king, that brought the honor of the king wherever it went, wherever the king's royal Merkava chariot went, that's where the honor and the glory of the king was. And he says so beautifully, that was the Avos. When it says that the Avos were the Merkava, they were the chariot of God, what that means, fellas, is that wherever they went, they were concerned about bringing the honor of Hashem with them. They went and they said, okay, here's an opportunity to enhance Kavod Shemayim. Here's an opportunity to bring about a Kiddush Hashem. And if God forbid my action that I'm about to do is going to bring about a Chil Hashem, I ain't going there. That's what it means, Avos Hinei HaMerkava. They were like the king's chariot because they brought about, wherever they went, the tremendous honor and tremendous glory that the king went ahead and wanted to show, namely the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show in the world. I boast, I shift with me for a minute or two, a little later in the parsha. What happens in the middle of this parsha? We know the story. There's a big fight. World War I. Literally. I mean, not literally, not the one that happened almost 100 years ago, but we're talking about the one that happened in Avraham's time. There's kings, big kings, four kings, and five kings, and Lot's in trouble, and Avraham goes to fight. And we know that Avraham sides with a smaller group, and miraculously with his men, Avraham wins the war, and wow, and Malkitzedek comes out and he brings in Lechem, the Yayin, and the whole story. And then right afterwards, Hashem turns to Avraham and says to Avraham, Al tira Avraham. Don't worry, Avraham. Anochi magen lecha, I'll protect you. Schorcha harbe me'od. Your reward is very great. Now, Rabosai, we know the general rule is as follows. If I'm worried, you tell me don't worry. If I'm not worried, you don't tell me don't worry. If I'm just happy and I'm doing great and I'm not worried at all, you don't say don't worry to the person. So what exactly is Avraham worried about? That Hashem has to come to Avraham now and say, Avraham, hey, don't worry. It's okay. What's he worried about? So the Mefarshim explain the following thing. Avraham is worried about the following. Avraham is worried. He just beat the kings. The five kings were just defeated by the four kings. The five kings were a massive empire. They have a tremendous amount of people on their side. Their friends are going to get together and fight against Avraham. And maybe he'll lose the fight. Why should he lose the fight? Well, beforehand, the first fight, he had merits. But maybe he lost those merits when he fought the first battle. What's going to be now in the second battle? And I'm going to say, what would happen if he lose that fight? He says, if Aaron Cutler, you know what happened? It would be a Chilul Hashem. How's it going to look? The first fight, Avraham wins. And the second fight, Avraham loses. It will be a colossal Chilul Hashem. He wasn't worried, oi, I'm going to get hurt. Physically, I'm going to be in trouble. He's worried about Hashem's name is not going to be the way it should be in the world. It's going to look like, yeah, Hashem took care of Avraham until point X, but after that, he just let him go and he was on his own. And that's the concern that Avraham had over here. Not about me, not about my own personal self, but about Kvod Shemayim, about enhancing the honor of Hashem in the world. One last proof from the parasha, and we try to bring this idea home very much to our lives. In that battle, Avraham goes to great lengths. To save who? To save his nephew? Lot. Okay, I know it's his relative, but why such great lengths? And again, the Ramban says beautifully, you know why? So Lot shouldn't say, and people shouldn't say, the only reason why Lot got in trouble was because he hooked up with his uncle Avraham. And once again, it will be a Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem. Lot hung out with Avraham, he got into a mess. So Avraham went all out to save his nephew, so there shouldn't be a Chilul Hashem involved. To honor Kvod Shemayim. Rabosai, I want to try to hammer this home, the idea to us. You're probably familiar, my wife reminded me about this morning actually. Eishat Torah came out with a video, actually a series, they already have two of them, called Inspired. Inspired, it's a video that, according to everybody, you're allowed to see. There's no problems with watching this video, it's kosher l'chol adeos. And this video, Rosai, is beautiful. What's so special about it? I saw both of them already. What's so special about it? So special is that you would think they go through and they interview people that were totally not religious and who became religious. And they ask them, what is it that turned you on to Judaism? What happened? Tell me what happened in your life that made you Jewish and made you want to be religious? Or wanted you to explore Judaism? You'd expect, yeah, to hear this unbelievable, powerful schmooze about something. And I've always said, you know what the real answer was? Most of the time, you know what happened? On a bus, or on a train, or on the street, they bumped into a from Jewish person who acted with them in a pleasant, kind, nice way. And they said to themselves, you know what? I'm Jewish. I want to know more about that. Not because the person was trying to do something, not because the person was a kirov expert, just because they were living their lives in a way that, you know what? I have a chance at my fingertips to bring about the honor and the glory of Hashem's name. I have a chance to be marba kvod shemayim. And fellas, if you live your lives, and if we live our lives like that, we can't imagine how many people we could touch, and the effect of our just living our lives with a certain sense, a certain mind frame and mindset of, I want to enhance the glory of Hashem. And who knows how much we could accomplish, even in the realm of Kiruv, if we live our lives with this idea in mind, with this notion of living l'man kvod shemayim. I want to tell you a story. It happened to me this past week. It happened to me and other rabbeim in this yeshiva this past week. We were on that famous hasa'ah, the good famous mobile that drives us home to Beit Shemesh at night. And we had taken, instead of going the back roads that we usually take, we took the main highway, Kvish Echad. And one of the rabbeim that lives in Beit Shemesh was with us. And the majority of people in the van, the majority of us in the van, were from Ramat Beit Shemesh. And we're coming down the highway, if you know what I'm talking about, coming down the main highway, we get towards Beit Shemesh. And there is a left turn that takes you into Beit Shemesh. And the logical thing would be, first go to Beit Shemesh, drop off the driver from Beit Shemesh, and then end up in Beit Shemesh and drop us all off. And there's a left turn that you have to make if you're coming down this 38 to get into Beit Shemesh. We get there, and we see, and there's a very, very long line of cars that are waiting to make the left turn. Now, we weren't in a rush. We would have gone on that line. But the driver thought that the route was supposed to be first to go to Ramat Beit Shemesh, and then to Beit Shemesh. The driver happens to be Tzion's uncle. His name was Menashe. I turn to him and I say, "Hey, Menashe, you know, there's somebody from Beit Shemesh. Maybe we should go to Beit Shemesh first and drop him off." So he takes a look to his left and he sees all those cars lined up, one after the other, in the row in front of him. And he turns to me innocently and beautifully and with the purity of self and says to me, "Eich ani yachol?" It's a gezel. I'm like, "Excuse me?" He goes, "How could I cut all those people off that are waiting online? It's a gezel zman. I'm stealing their time. They're all waiting online. I'm going to cut them all off? No, I can't do that." I said, "Menashe, listen, where are you going after you drop us off?" He said, "I have to end up in Ramat Beit Shemesh." I said, "You know what? Roll down your window. It wasn't intentional. Put down your hand and just cut in there. In baya." He looks at me and says, "I'm not a hole. How can I cut all those people off?" Abosai, I was floored, and everyone else in the car was floored, and a lot of cab drivers and people that are on the road that are trying to get there quickly are oftentimes looking for chances to weasel their way in the last minute into that lane and to cut everyone off, cut everyone else off. But that wasn't the case with this Menashe fellow. You know why? Because in Menashe's blood and in Menashe's heart, there's a sense of living for Kvod Shemayim. You know what? Maybe you'd get home faster if you cut those people off. But it's very possible that a Chilul Hashem will be made in the way. And if in the process of me moving ahead, it caused the Chilul Hashem, our driver, the Sigmund Asher, didn't want a part of it. That's not what it's about. Avram taught us in this parasha, the Avos teach us by being the Merkava, that we have to live with a goal, with a purpose. And that goal is Leman Shemo, to enhance Kvod Shemayim. Not looking for chances to cut corners, God forbid. Looking for chances to be the source of everyone looking at us and saying, "Wow, that's how Jews behave. I want to be like," not Mike, nothing against him, "but I want to be like the Jews. I want to act like that. I want to know more about that. I want a part of that." I close with this. We're about to daven Mincha. Another 2 minutes. And in Mincha we're going to say the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. Bracha of Avos. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. As that bracha ends, before Magin Avraham, Baruch, Umevi Goel, Levnei Vineham. Just freezing those words. Leman Shemo B'Yahava. Which means, listen carefully, I think it means, is the following. It means, God is going to bring the Geula to us. B'Ahava, you know why? Because we are the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who lived their lives Leman Shemo. They lived Leman Shemo. They were always worried, how can I enhance the honor of God in the world? How can I be the conduit for enhancing more Kfod Shamayim in the world? Well, if Hashem says you come from that stock, Hashem is maybe Goel of Nei V'Nehem, Laman Shemo V'Yava. They live Laman Shemo. I'm going to bring the Geula to their inheritors, to us. Laman Shemo V'Yava. We should be Zoche. Please God, to live our lives with the goal in mind of living Laman Shemo, and be privileged to be called the descendants of Avram Avinu, and be Zoche to the Geula Laman Shemo V'Yava. Shabbos, guys.